November 20th, 1978, talking to Henry Betus and Hughes.
We'll try to do it, move right along tonight, huh? Mm-hmm. It's Henry came, but he didn't bring a sleeping bag. I might sleep on the couch.
I thought, well, maybe we'll just start with what you did today, where you went. And maybe we'll start with morning time, what time you woke up and what you did. Boy.
Well, I got up around 6:30 this morning.
6:30.
Uh-huh.
And then what you do in the morning time?
Well, after I finished breakfast, I came to check the light plant. Everything's okay, and I took my dogs out for a little run.
About how far did you run?
Oh, I went about 8 miles out and back.
Mm-hmm. How are they doing?
Well, they got kind of tired a little bit coming home because they were not in shape. I should run them more often, but I doesn't, and they get tired coming home.
Mm-hmm. How is your leader?
Oh, okay, good enough to lead the other dogs.
You know, I was wondering one thing about racing. You know, you ever hear anything like some outside people are talking about racing, and you know, they don't really know. They've probably never even seen a dog sled or a dog team, and they say that racing is cruelty to animals and things like that. What do you think about, or have you ever heard about people saying that?
Yeah, they really haven't told me that, but I heard it off the site, but nobody really haven't told me that yet. Mm-hmm. But I think to myself, it's as long as the animal is taken care of good, the dogs like to enjoy racing too. We like to run.
I think it's people just never saw how much dogs like to eat.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What about when you're racing, what do you feel like, there's more competition or more helping each other, or is it both things going on?
Well, right now, just like the speak races in Randy and North American, they're getting to be a stronger competition every year, because there's more people that pool dogs. There's some place, there's about three different really top teams put together. So it's really getting to be a strong race.
What do you mean, pool dogs?
They put their dogs together.
You mean like people from a couple different places?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, who would pool dogs
say? Well, last winter for Randy, Harvey Grakes and there's another team too. There were three teams put together anyway, Harvey Grakes and Joey Brandon Jr. And I forgot who was the third one. They had their team together for Randy.
They put them together from whose dogs?
Harvey Grakes' kennel and Joey Brandon's kennel.
Their own dogs?
Mm-hmm. Their own dogs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do people ever share dogs or give somebody else their dogs to run?
Yeah, that's what they did.
So, you mean Harvey Drake gave his dogs over to somebody else?
Uh-huh, yeah. Joey ran them and Randy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so Joey ran Harvey's dogs.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's somebody been with him too.
Mm-hmm. Haven't people in the villages been doing that a long time, you know, sharing dogs and renting them and lending them?
Uh-huh, is that, yeah, different? Right now, this local races, there's always combined team.
Mm-hmm. What about when somebody's going to run the Iditarod?
People? Yeah, they do the same thing,
Because I know Betus Moses was talking about, boy, he says, I couldn't have run a race if it weren't for all the, everybody along the river. He says, you know, they're the ones running the race because they really help out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says that's a really good part.
Of the yeah.
Race. When you ran, I did run. Did you get dogs from other people?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I got dogs from Al Tackett. I got dogs from Huslia and Hughes.
Sounds like a pretty championship too.
Do people really say they're real happy you're running and want to help you?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
Get in contact with me.
So that way people, you know, from these places don't compete with each other, but they help out one person to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about competition. We notice that there's a different, seems to be a different sense of competition between people, from people that live in a village and people that live, say, in a city or outside. Do you notice that? How would you talk about the competition that goes on between people?
Well, it's like from people from around here in Fairbanks or Anchorage, well, and there'll be team coming from outside. Well, this Alaska want to beat the team from outside, and also this local villages, they want the team, they want their dogs to beat the city team too.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's the people in villages get together to beat the guy in the city.
Uh huh.
And the people in Alaska get together to beat the guy from outside.
Uh huh. Yeah.
The guy from outside is the bottom of the line.
What about competition and other things? Is there a competition like in how people want to compete hunting or trapping or fishing, anything like that? People say, did they ever talk like that? You know, oh, I got so much and more than somebody else.
There might be a few people that think like that, but that's never been a... People really never try to beat each other on hunting like that. Well, there might be people think, but as long as I remember, there's no, I don't remember a people that's really trying to beat one another or trying to catch more animals than the other one.
You think they're helping each other out more?
Uh huh, yeah.
Can I ask a question? As you know, in your life, you've seen a lot of things change. Like Hughes has changed, the Keokuk River has changed, the villages, you know, with airplanes and snow machines, and different sorts of things make changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this feeling of competition, if there's anything new about that, are there any changes in that?
No.
People pretty well treat themselves the way mm-hmm. they do.
Yeah.
Can I ask another? Then another thing about people that I've noticed, and it's a particular trait that I think really stands out in people from villages. And that is when they're talking about themselves. And there's some people that kind of will brag about themselves. But I notice a lot of people wouldn't do that. Is that just because of the individual guys like that? Or is that because that's the way that it used to be?
Yeah, really, that's just the way it used to be. Yes, as long as I remember my old man, the stories he'd tell, there might be at times he did something really great, but he'll never tell stories about that. He always tells stories about some other hunter or trapper better than himself.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Do you think that you've got some of that inside of you too?
Well, I try. Yeah. I try to think like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You try to think like you're going to say better things about somebody else?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just the way my old man was.
Do you tell your kids the same thing?
Yeah.
How is it you tell them? What would you say to them?
Well, I just explain it to them. It's just not our old way. It's just for like keep himself under greatest sight. You know, that's not the way our old people used to be.
Mm-hmm. I want to keep on this.
Me too. I have one question.
All right,
I was just wondering if there's like a certain word for somebody who kind of brags or shows off, and what that word is that's used.
Well, the story my old man used to tell me, if there's always somebody that can brag about himself, what he did and what he do, and my old man, when he tell stories, he not only him, but just long before him too, there's always people that kind of make fun of the person that brag about himself. So that's just the way the old stories is.
Mm-hmm. Is there a certain word for that?
No, not really. No, it's just kind of make fun of him. It's they're not really proud of him when.
Would they have any stories like the things that would happen to somebody because they were bragging?
No. No, this. There's one, another thing what my old man said too is, it's like hunting or trapping or whatever. It's person never make fun of an animal, never try to tease animal. Yes, animals wouldn't be the same animal maybe, but animals remember. And it can, backfire someday if the animal get a chance to harm the person, it can really backfire.
Does he talk about having respect for animals like that? Mm-hmm. So that they wouldn't get your bait and get out or something?
Mm-hmm.
How else would he talk about respect for animals like that?
Well, it's always the way he put it. He always just put it just like he got nothing against the animal. Just hunt the animal. It's,
we're always figuring things out. Now, when kids are growing up, they learn these things like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's really important that they learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes good people out of them.
Yeah.
But then they go into another kind of a system, in a system where it's important for one person to get ahead of other people. A real competition system, maybe in certain kinds of schoolwork, or when they go into Fairbanks, or they go try to do something else, or they go on a job with somebody, and there's competition to maybe be foreman, or competition to get ahead individually. that's sort of what that system is. And I wonder if do you notice any kind of problems people have about that, or difficulties that a guy might have if he's coming from a place where it's best not to put yourself ahead and goes into another system?
No. Not really. It's a... That part is... just the way a fellow can make a living, it's just a person can do the best he can do to... It's like a learning a trade, kind of trade. This person got to do his best to climb.
Do you ever feel like maybe you were working on a job sometime and you really knew the job and you could do it better than maybe you could do it better than other people, but you never say anything about it? And then the foreman's going to pick out one guy, or the supervisor's going to pick out one guy and the foreman, and they pick out somebody that talks a lot but doesn't know it as well.
Yeah, I've seen a foreman like that, yeah, but it seems like every job I happen to get is I always get along pretty good with the crew. Right after first week's work, well, everybody in the job know each other, you know, and it seems like I always get on the best side of the whole crew, like foreman and all. And there's times that it's really hard to work doing something, and after a couple of weeks' work, there's always my foreman there. He try to put me where there's easy work. He never put me out in the front where there's really hard work. And just because he liked me, I guess that's just a... Ever since I started working, I'm like that with the people.
What would be easy work and what would be hard work?
Well, there's times that could be, there'll be a work, just like a carpenter work, but there's times it could be out in the rain or where it's really wet. And when I first week working, I could work a place like that. Well, I don't mind, it's a job, you know. But after that, whenever there's something really one place to work, my foreman, he always put me where there's a... It's the same job, really, but he always put me where there's a better place to work. It's easier. It's all woodwork, but it's not as... What is the other place?
Yeah,
but it still takes some thinking and knowing what you're doing inside.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sure respect, really. Do you notice that some kids leave from here and they go to high school, and they come back? What are their attitudes about, say the old ways? You know, like you're talking about.
Well, our kids, before they go to high school, while they're going to grade school, but there's plenty of time for them to pick up quite a bit of that, our old way of superstitious and all that. And they got that in mind when they come back from high school, but it's they can do our old way of living, and they still got that in mind with the respect animal and all that. Once they're taught, while they're going to grade school, as long as they can remember, they always have that in mind.
You think it's that it's ever hard, say, if they go out someplace like Fairbanks and then come back, that they get a little confused sometimes? Do you think that happens?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know how I should say it. what do you think is the most important thing that you teach them so they don't get confused by seeing two different ways of living?
You mean
the most important thing you can tell them?
Yeah, because a lot of kids, a lot of young kids everywhere, all around the world, get confused when they get to be teenagers.
Yeah.
And they don't know quite what's important. They don't know what it's the most, what being a good man is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they're supposed to do.
Or what they want to
do. Or what they want to do. What do you think is the most important thing that you tell your kids so that they make it through that time?
Well, while they're still young, I just tell them stories and how our life is always is, and they know they got it, they keep it in mind while they're growing up. And after, when they get on their own, they might make a few mistakes yet, but they still got that our way of living. They still got that in their mind.
Do you ever get letters from your children, like from Hazel or Amara or whoever goes kind of far away from home and going to school or doing something different? Do you get letters back and they talk about maybe things that are hard? Do you ever do that? Or do they talk about how easy it is or how good it is?
Well, there might be a time they would have a hard time with their work, but they never really say they're having a hard time. But mostly say they miss home. But they still have to be out there to finish what they're doing.
What is Amara studying?
She's studying some sort of a little business, like, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She's a plan to go out there for.
Does she have ideas what she wants to do when she comes back?
Well, it's just my way of thinking is I'd like to start a little business for them once she finished that course, which she's taking right now.
What kind of business?
Like to start a little store. Just we got all that native land claim money. What we got for our land, we put it in a savings account, and we got little interest out of it. But it's might be better if I get something started. It might grow faster.
We have a family business, and all of them will have different jobs.
Could be a
village
business.
Yeah.
You got another question?
Well, I was wondering about when you were growing up, your old man taught you when you were going to do something, if he said, even if it's hard, you got to try anyway. Did he tell you things like that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can you remember any time when you really had to work and you remember him saying that and that helped you keep working at it?
Yeah, at the time when things was hard, and that might be a really bad weather, and we can be out trap line, and too tough going. I wanted to have a day off, or I wanted to stay in at home for a while before we go out in the line. And when it's time for him to go, he gotta go, whether it's snow or. Only thing he waited on was cold weather. When it's 50, 60 below, that's the only time he wait till it warm up. As long as the temperature is up, he's always working.
So what would he say to you?
Well, he just get me going. When he say go, I gotta go.
How did he get you going?
Well, just tell me to go.
So are you like him that way now?
Well, at the time, I didn't like it when we were really working out there in the trail. And right now, if he's living, I would have thanked him for that part, because I didn't know it was, he was doing something for me for a future, where after I get on my own, let little things hold me back. That's what he was after.
Were there ever any times you can remember when you're older where you still kind of wanted to hang back and remembered him telling you to get going?
Yeah, there's.
When would be one of those times that you can think of?
Oh, well, there's always about one or two days out of the year that things are like that.
But you keep going in. Uh-huh. Do you do that with your boys now?
I tell them that story, and you know it.
Speaking about your boys, did you make a trip down there to see him today?
Yeah, this evening.
How did that go?
Well, I went down with Snow Machine, and they were back from their line. They never really bring in much fur, but they got a couple marten apiece, so that was... It was all right. There's your cat or something.
Mm-hmm. Are they feeling good?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Were they getting kind of tired about this bum weather?
No. They don't seem to complain about the weather. They say they're going out another line tomorrow. Check that line too, and they'll be back Wednesday.
So when they come back, they're coming back Wednesday for Thanksgiving dinner?
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do wait for 2-3 days before they go back out again.
Mm-hmm. So do they keep doing that? They'll go out for a few days and then come back in?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long do they usually stay out, or do they build up and stay out longer each time?
Well, with the line they got right now, they only can stay out 3 or 4 days. But if they got a longer line, it would take them about a week or more.
So we're talking about your children, you know, we noticed that you really like Ryan. You know? We're wondering if you're like that with all the kids.
Well, I like... all of them when they were that small, but I guess this Ryan was one of the favorite ones, because he's the adopted one, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear from people too, is people got a big family, and after so many years they can adopt a baby, and that was one of the biggest favorite ones. Same way with me and Ryan is.
How did you decide to adopt a baby? Why did you decide to do that?
Well, his mother wanted to give him to us, so we wanted a little one too anyway, so we took him.
Are you afraid the other ones are growing up too fast?
But it's fun to work on little one. Got so used to it, you know.
Did you always think that you'd have a big family? Did you want to have a big family? Or did you think about that when you were young?
Well, I didn't really think about it when I was young, but Well, I wanted to have a kids, but I didn't really think about how many kids I was going to have until we got all the kids. And
what did you think every time you see a new one?
Oh, well, I'm happy to see a new one.
Did the family life change a lot, say, when Sophie started working as an aide? Was that any different, or was it the same?
The same. Mm-hmm.
Speaking about family life, did your dad leave for long times, like to work on a boat or something like that? Is he gone for sometimes 3 or 4 months? Like when you're working in mining camp and everything, you're gone for a while?
Yeah, in his younger days, during when they were freighting with steamboat a long time ago, he used to work in a steamboat for quite a few years. He told me how many years, but I couldn't remember how many years. But he spent a lot of time in steamboat. That's every summer.
Do you feel like the way when your family was growing up, and you would find yourself leaving for 4 or 5 months sometimes, was that different than the way other families would grow up around here? Or did that happen to everybody?
It happened to almost everybody.
What does that, what effect does that have on the family?
Well, just like me, when I'm leaving, well, I miss kids, miss my family, but still yet I got to go out to earn money to feed the family.
Are there any ever times when you're out there you really worry and you feel like you got to get back?
Only time I really worry about them is if there's something wrong with the one in the family, you know. It's, if it's a something emergency, I always can come back.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what is your favorite time with the family? Is there a certain time that you really enjoy?
That's out of the year, or?
Out of the year or something that you do, yeah.
Well, this just favorite rite is right after breakup in springtime. It's when we go out camping. That's about the best life the kids enjoy.
Right after breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do then? That's before fishing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right after breakup. Yeah, it's bird hunting, rat hunting, and just enjoy being out there 3-4 days. That's about the best time to, for kids to go out.
What sort of things do you do?
Well, that's about all is hunting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you do that every year?
Uh-huh. Yeah, not long as I'm home, I do that every year. Yeah.
The kids keep asking, when are we going out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're always glad to see the breakup.
What kind of things do you take with you when you go camping then?
I'll just take camping outfit and rifles and plenty of ammunition.
Camping outfit is, what's that?
Well, it's tent and stoves and beddings and plenty of food.
I was wondering, you know, you've done a lot of jobs and gone different places, and you've gone, well, running Iditarod, you stop in different villages, and for all kind of reasons, it seems that you've been in different places. Do you feel like you've made a lot of friends and you have all kinds of places to stay if you go someplace?
Yeah, just like in that Iditarod trip, the time I left Anchorage, I get to places, every place I get to, there's always a person that's waiting for me to put me up.
They knew you're coming.
Uh-huh.
You didn't know that they're coming.
No, waiting? I didn't know the person, but the person know my name from so many years back, and they're just happy to see me.
Mm-hmm. Would that be somebody maybe who met you, or they know somebody in your family or a friend?
I guess they must have heard my name from a while back, and they just know they must have just wanted to help me.
But they never met you before.
No, never met the person before, and the person is right there waiting for me to put me up and help me feed the dogs, work on dogs.
Have you ever seen some of those people again? Actually, I do
well. Yeah, when I go to carnival, there's not all of them, but I see some of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're going to make a trip, like when we say in Galena, or Kurt say in Galena, when you go there, do you let somebody know ahead of time you're coming, or you just know that?
No, I just, at that time, I just jump on a plane and... Well, I have a cousin down there to stay with, mm-hmm. And I was okay. And
so just like you have family.
Yeah. When I saw you in front of the post office, my uncle Sydney, he was taking me up to Carl's place.
Wow.
That's when I saw you.
Speaking of Sydney, you said you used to work with Jimmy on the riverboat?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you worked that time, I was wondering, what kind of things you did, like, what kind of, what a day would be like. Would you run into trouble sometimes, or was it real quiet?
What I'd like to start with asking? What's the part of working on the riverboat that you like the most?
Well, I was a deckhand. I was working on a barge and taking care of things on a barge when I was working for Jimmy. The first summer and the second summer, I started taking the wheel once in a great while just to help. And the third summer, I worked for him. I was not a pilot, but I did a lot of steering. And if I worked any longer, I probably would have been a pilot in the boat. But he quit trading in 57. He quit the business. And that's when I got back to the mining camp after that.
You really like being at that steering wheel?
Yeah. It was fun.
What would that be like, steering a boat?
Well, steering a boat where there's good water, it's fun. But like going down Tanana River with a load, going downstream, that wasn't much of fun. It was a lot of worries in the mind, you know.
What do you have to worry about?
Well, worry about getting stuck in a sandbar. If you don't stay on channel, you pile the barge up in a sandbar, and that wouldn't be very nice for the captain, you know.
How would you know where the channel was?
The fellow I worked with, Stephen Atla, he was a good riverman. He just tell me how. He let me steer in good places, but where there's really a lot of bars and a lot of bump channels, he take over. So he was teaching me a lot all the time I worked with him.
So you got to be able to handle the boat pretty good in the...
Well, not really good, but at least I handled this barge anyway, just where it's good going.
What kinds of maneuvers did you learn how to do with the barge? Like turning it around in a narrow channel or something like that?
Mm-hmm. It's where there's good going, it's... almost just like driving a snow machine or a car. It's almost something like that, where there's good going. It's really bump channel. That's the only time it's hard.
What's the most important thing that you had to learn?
Well, that the most important thing is not to get excited if you really get into the problems. You know, you just got to not to get scared and just work your way through that place. If I get nervous and get excited, it can pile the barge in the sandbar, and that'll be it.
So for all the time that you ran the barge without hitting anything and just moving right along, was there any time during that you might have hit a sandbar?
Well, there's times you can... There's times we could be hitting the bottom, but the three seasons I spent in the riverboat, we didn't. The barge wasn't really out of the water, no place.
You never got stuck, never got hung up?
No. Well, because I wasn't steering all the way through anyway. I was just taking a steering where there's good water. But if I steer steady, I probably would have pile of barge in the sandbar, but Steven was he's a pretty good pilot.
Were you reading water then?
Not good as Steven can do, but he just about told me where to go. That's the only way I steer.
Did you learn any new things that you didn't know about the river when you were, like how to read water that you didn't already know, or?
No, I didn't know anything about water in the first summer, and afterwards, well, I keep working with Steven, and he keep telling me what the water looked like where it's shallow.
What are a couple of those things that you remember and you still use when you're on the river?
Pardon?
What are a couple of things about reading the water that you still remember and you use when you're on the river now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What are a couple of those things?
Well, the main thing is just to stay on the channel. If you can, as long as you can read the water well enough, you can stay on the channel where just like around here, just pretty narrow channels in places, and just stay in the main channel. There'll be no problem.
How do you tell where that main channel is?
Well, just by looking at the water, just how the stream flows and what those little bitty waves look like.
Sounds like the river's been really important in your life. Have you ever thought about what it would be like if you didn't have a river, if you didn't live by the river?
Well, I guess I wouldn't know if I was raised out in the flat someplace. If I come to river, I wouldn't know what to do.
Would you call yourself a riverman?
No, not right now.
What kind of person is a riverman?
Well, Stephen Atley, he can read water, and my brother Q. He's been pilot for Lieutenant Bartschlein for over 7 or 8 years. So they are the pilots.
Did you ever build your own boat?
Yeah, just not a fancy boat, but it's good enough to carry my family around.
Mm-hmm. How many boats have you built?
Well, that big one I got, that's the fourth one.
Mm-hmm. How do you learn to build that?
I just watch people. Ever since I remember, I just watch how they go about putting it together, and that's just the way I do it.
You ever help work on a boat that was whipsawed? Remember was whipsawed?
No, that part, that was... I remember that part, but I never was. I wasn't one of them.
Whipsawing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're lucky. let's see. How long is